Welcome to the National Bicycle Greenway's Mountain Mover podcast series. Here you will get up close and personal with people who are taking giant steps for the betterment of cyclists and for the planet itself.
We have with us here today Frank Cowney, who as the mayor of Des Moines, Iowa, will tell us why his city is truly one of America's best-kept secrets.
Okay, so Frank, how you doing today, guy?
Hey, good to talk to you, Martin.
All right.
Are you? Have you started your ride yet?
that doesn't happen until 2007, 2000.
Okay.
My own ride, but our mayor's ride starts April 28th from Boston. So yeah, it's coming up real soon. We're going to be visiting you on the 9th of June. I understand from Lorna you're going to be in Washington D.C. at that time.
We are.
Oh boy. Okay.
We are. Annually, we go in there, and quite frankly, one of the things that we talk about is trails, and because Des Moines is a hub of bicycle trails and walking trails all around central Iowa.
Fantastic.
We've got 29 miles of trails around the city of Des Moines, and you know, we're working real hard on it, and we're getting some support at the national level, so we're going to be in there working on that, unfortunately, when you're coming through Des Moines.
Wow. Well, I want to come back to that, but first of all, I want to get our listenership some kind of feeling for who Frank Cowney is. How long, for example, have you been mayor of Des Moines?
This is starting my third year.
Great.
Martin.
Okay. And in terms of population size, how many people live in Des Moines?
Well, Des Moines is 200. Plus, minus 1,000, approximately. The metropolitan area is 400, 450.
Okay. And you have responsibility for 200 plus 1,000 of those people?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay. And your position as the mayor there is not a full-time one.
Right. It's designated officially as a part-time. At least that's what the application said when I signed up for this job.
Okay.
But, you know, in any of these kinds of positions, to do a good job, it takes a pretty good commitment. And I've got some great staff here that is very supportive and helps me out all day, every day. So we've got a good relationship going here, and we're active, and we get quite a lot done and spend an awful lot of time with neighbors and citizens and businesses trying to make Des Moines a better place to live. And quite frankly, we just got our evaluation back, and our citizens feel that over 80% of them think that the quality of life here is second to none.
Great. Well, I don't know how. I know that one of our fans, one of our supporters, MBG supporters, Lorna Davros, your scheduler, has been with us through three administrations?
Two
administrations. Okay, so you were with Preston Daniels and now with Mayor Frank. Great. Okay,
yeah.
Got it. I don't know how you can lose with that kind of help. She's just all over it. It's like
no, she does a fabulous job. She keeps us running in the right direction and on time and on budget.
Okay. On budget. You didn't tell me about that, Lorna.
Well, it's one of our secrets.
Okay. Great. Now, in your work, over and beyond your mayoralship there, I know, for example, Preston Daniels was a diversity trainer and that now he's doing that full-time once again. What kind of background do you bring to the mayor's position in Des Moines?
Well, we have a family business that essentially was started in 1888. They originally made harness and fur and leather garments. So we've always kind of been in the natural business. So we sell outerwear, and generally I will tell you that all of it is fur, leather, wool, cashmere, anything natural.
Wow.
So anyway, on that side, on the other side that kind of got me involved in this, our family has always felt that, you know, working with the community and being involved in the community is part of your responsibility as a business person. And my dad had spent his whole life volunteering and doing things in the private sector, which I did for a number of years. And then I got it started on boards and commissions in the city after having chaired a number of those other or being president of a number of those other private side organizations. And so it started out with a convention center. Then I went to the Planning and Zoning Commission that I chaired that one for five terms, and then ran for at-large city council position. And then when Preston decided not to run again, I ran for mayor and was elected. But it's really having a lot of involvement trying to make Des Moines a better place to live. I was part of the committee, as a matter of fact, chaired it, that wrote our new community character plan, looking at the vision for the city. It was a 2020 community character, so looking out to the year 2020, trying to decide how Des Moines was successful in the past, where we are today, and what we needed to look like moving into the future. So it was an exciting project, and now we're, as mayor, while we're working on putting the ordinances in place that support that plan. So it's been an exciting time, a lot of great things going on in and around Des Moines, over $2 billion worth of development. We have opened up, I think, since I've been mayor, and with new buildings, corporate headquarters going up this year, just announced Allied Nationwide is building a huge new structure in downtown Des Moines, and so is Wells Fargo. It's been a very exciting time to be mayor of the city of Des Moines. And plus, we have opened up a new, brand new $35 million library this weekend. We have a new science center. The Riverwalk project, it's part of our, essentially the hub of our trail system. We are working on and about a $55, $60 million project so far, with most of the money coming from the private sector. It's been fabulous. Des Moines is a great place to be.
Oh,
and
I want to come.
We're looking for you. Looking forward to you getting here.
I want to come. So you go back to 1888 in that city?
Well, yeah, and when they, my great-great-grandfather and his sons came to the Amana colonies in Iowa, and they homesteaded up there in the 1860s, and then these two brothers and ultimately their father moved to Des Moines and started this essentially harness making business.
Mm-hmm.
And then it sort of evolved in here. So we've been here a long time, and really love Des Moines, and have my kids, two of them are here and two of them are still going to school or involved in school. So although they're on the West Coast, but we have a number of generations that have been here, and hopefully they're going to be future generations in our family continue here.
That's amazing. So you're telling me that you could almost trace your roots back to the days of the fur trappers then?
Well, yeah, that's probably true.
This is fascinating. I'm totally fascinated by that stuff. I've been doing a fair amount of research myself for the new book I'm coming out with, How America Can Bike and Grow Rich. And I've come to find out that in the area really west of the Mississippi River, that fur trappers played a big part in the creation of roads that would have become roads that the Americans use with their cars nowadays even. Let's come back to a couple years ago with regards to our Des Moines NBG Day there. You rode a bike with our arriving NBG scouts, and in the rain no less.
We did.
Yeah, and you even got there with your daughter. How often are you able to get out on a bike yourself?
Well, not as much as I would like since I've been mayor. Why, it seems like Lorna's got me running all over the city doing all kinds of things, and I can't always go on a bike. But
uh-huh.
In the meantime, I've had a bike all my life. I enjoy doing it, not only personally. It's a great workout. It's a way to get outdoors and quite frankly, see what's going on in and around the city. But it's also something that we've done with our family. All of my kids have bikes, and they've all ridden bikes through the years. So we've had a lot of fun watching the trails develop, and certainly now having a hand in it, you know, from the city side, why it's really been an exciting evolution of bikes and bike trails. We're working now on trying to get more miles of bike lanes in the city. And
mm-hmm.
so that's been a bit of a struggle, you know, dealing with traffic engineers, and they're more concerned about motorized vehicles. And of course,
right.
I'm worried about because I have sort of a side of me that's way on the green side, you know. I'm worried about renewable resources and energy and all that kind of stuff. And certainly bikes feed right into that, because what a great way to get exercise and not burn up all that fossil fuel, you know.
You sound like you're not hard, but you've got it in your blood. You're a cyclist at heart. How many bikes do you have, personally?
You know what? I know the answer to this because I had to go through our garage last night as we're getting our bikes ready for the mayor's ride that's coming up. But mm-hmm. At the moment in my garage, we've got about 5 bikes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there are just 2 of us left at home. So,
great. So what kind of bike do you personally ride?
Well, I find it easiest to ride. I ride a Trek, but it's a roadster. It's not one of those all-terrain bikes or you know, with a big knobby tires. I feel
right.
it seems to glide along a little easier.
So a road bike then?
Yeah,
you're a road bike guy. All right, excellent. In terms of your economy there in Des Moines, which is obviously you've seen it change quite a bit since your early beginnings as a business trader in your town, it's no longer driven by the farm. You now have the nation's largest insurance industry. Does that bring a new demographic of workers to your city? Have you seen the kind of people that earn a wage in Des Moines change from the farm, more blue-collar, build-a-tractor kind of guy to the more white-collar professional?
The city of Des Moines is the capital of the state of Iowa. It's the center of government, but essentially has never been real driven by the agricultural industry. While we've been supportive of it and do have some grain processing, Cargill and ADM and those kinds of companies here, Des Moines' economy is driven more by the insurance industry and financial processing and of banks and those kinds of organizations. We did used to have the city quite a lot of manufacturing, and a lot of those blue-collar jobs have kind of gone away. Plants have either closed down or they've moved to another state or overseas. And so some of that manufacturing that we see here in the steel industry and fabricating industry has gone away. But it is more than filled up with jobs in the insurance and financial processing. I will tell you that Des Moines is sort of also a very unique city where about 75th in terms of size of our city in this country. Our downtown employment population is 25th. So we've got 70,000 people working in downtown Des Moines, which is very unusual that you would be in that position for the size of the city. So we have lots of employment in downtown for our size.
In terms of this new demographic of workers, have you seen, has it been a slow evolution from the farm-based agricultural economy that used to be how Des Moines showed up? Has it been a slow transition, or has it been recent that you become the nation's
largest?
Well,
I'd say it's been a process, and as I say, Des Moines has not been a strong agriculturally based economy.
Mm-hmm.
But the manufacturing end has been a slow transition from those blue collar manufacturing jobs more to the back office white collar processing kind of jobs.
Okay.
And so it's information processors as opposed to manufacturing kind of jobs, whether it be in the agricultural sector or fabrication sector or any of those other kinds of things. You know, while we'd like to see those jobs continue, it's I'm in talking to a number of the people that are in those businesses. It's hard for them to compete in certain areas, you know, given their international competition. You know, as Thomas Friedman says, the world's getting real flat, and
yes.
We have to recognize that and realize what our strengths are. And I think we've got a highly educated population here. Our schools have had reputations for years of being some of the best in the country, not only in Des Moines, but our state compared to other states. And so, you know, we're proud of that, and I think people look to Iowa, not only because of its geographical location, but for other reasons, to locate their businesses here. Geographical because it can also be a call center kind of a place because, you know, we can service all ends of the country, you know, with a workforce whose hours are concentrated kind of towards the middle of the day rather than to have people taking East Coast calls in the middle of the night. You
right.
Know?
Wow. Where this new workforce of white-collar workers is concerned, are you finding that they are asking for more recreation opportunities? Is that kind of more of a city mantra?
Well, we're finding that quality of life issues are huge, and that's one of the reasons people go places. And as they come into Des Moines and they look at Des Moines, and we're seeing a lot of people moving to Des Moines from both coasts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they see the value in property here. They see the job opportunities. They see the quality of life. They see an ever-growing downtown urban population. We're seeing a huge boom in downtown housing, and which is interesting in a city of our size, that people really like the quality of life down here. You know, again, I have to think it's not only the River Walk, which connects to another trail, which is the Meredith Trail, which connects to one of our biggest park attractions, which is the Grays Lake Park. And right across from the Grays Lake is another very, very popular park, which is the Waterworks Park. It's 1,500 acres. I mean, we've got a lot of opportunity, recreational opportunity, and just quite frankly, strolling, bike riding, sightseeing opportunities in and around the city of Des Moines. And it's we've got, for a city our size, 70 parks and three golf courses and all kinds of city property everywhere. So I think those are certainly reasons why people love Des Moines and love to get involved. And certainly those people, you know, with some of those other kinds of jobs, you know, have maybe a little more time and opportunity to get out and about and appreciate those aspects, not only in Des Moines, but, you know, we connect to all of our suburbs as well with trails.
How about traffic jams?
You can avoid them on a bike.
Is there such a thing in Des Moines? I mean, how much time do Des Moinians wait in traffic?
We have one of the shortest commute times in the country. It's averages about 15-20 minutes.
Wow.
And so it's, you know, and some of these people are living, you know, 20-30 miles away. So when you know, on average, that's a real, real low time.
You're saying to get to work 15-20 minutes is an average?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, and there's a lot of people because of the proximity of some of the housing to the downtown.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they're 5-10 minutes, no more than that.
Wow. Well, you know, while there's no bike lane miles there, I've got your city bike and report, the card on file here at nationalbicyclegreenway.com. Is there a general plan that calls for the implementation of bike paths, of which you have hundreds of miles on like along the river levees and things like that? Is that part of your city general plan policy to build bike paths versus bike lanes?
Well, both. We have a plan that's working on bicycle lanes. We're on the current plan. We've got a low number, but about 3 miles that are currently proposed for construction this year.
Mm-hmm.
We've got another 15 miles that are part of our master plan and are proposed over our capital improvement budget over the next 6 years. So that's on the bike lanes. We have 29 miles of trails in the city, but we connect through the Principal River Walk and the Walnut Creek Trail and the Meredith Trail to over 100 miles of trails linked up with Big Creek State Park that goes out to Jefferson, and quite frankly, the Neil Smith Trail that connects to our Des Moines River Greenbelt Park, which we think ultimately will connect Fort Dodge all the way down to Red Rock Lake, which is a really over 120 miles trail. So, you know, we're doing a lot in and around Des Moines, not just the city, but the state. We're all working together, and certainly Des Moines is kind of taking the lead on this. And with our Pat Dorian, one of our former mayors, also was a big bicycle enthusiast, and we have a trail named after him as well.
Great. Fantastic. What part does your namesake river play besides recreation in the city of Des Moines? You used to get your water from it. You don't get your water anymore from you get that from the raccoon.
Wait a minute. We draw also out of the Des Moines River because they are finding multiple sources. We essentially now have two or three sources where we pull water from. For our city source, so that we're planning for the future. You know, we want a sustainable city, and we think that one source of water it's prudent to have more than that.
Okay, but that river's not navigable. You don't use it for water transportation, is that correct?
Not for transportation, okay. But for recreation. I mean, there's dams in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about the possibility of connecting Des Moines down to Red Rock Reservoir, but we would need to have almost kind of locks. Another system that we've talked about in terms of recreation is a kayaking kind of a whitewater deal. We could divert some of the water and create kind of a kayaking experience, a whitewater experience on the Des Moines River to get around some of these dams, because it's dangerous to go over them, obviously.
Okay.
So we're working on a number of those kinds of initiatives to make it a little more navigable. But you're right, it's not set up for transportation, and neither is the raccoon.
Okay.
While there is a river dining experience that we think will reopen this year, it was just in the paper. So if you get here, we'll hopefully be able to take you out on that. But in the meantime, it's pretty much recreational water skiing and going up to the base of Sailorville Reservoir and then coming down to the dam that's just almost downtown.
Okay, now did you say dining experience?
Yes.
Dining. So in other words, there's a restaurant.
There's a small paddle boat that is being resurrected. It was on the river years ago.
Uh-huh.
And it's being totally redone, and the owner of that is planning on putting it back on the river. I'm not sure whether it's this summer or next to begin having dinner cruises.
Great. Okay. Well, let's talk about your weather there. I think you're making Des Moines sound like a place I'm starting to salivate for. I want to be there. But you've got, how about transportation? Are bicyclists able to ride year-round there?
Yes.
They can ride year-round. You know, there is a little bit of snow, and so occasionally, you know, you got to put on your snow tires. But generally speaking, they can. They can also ride to bus stops, and we're installing bus racks for bicycles on most of our MTA buses. So, and we had a federal grant for the bicycle racks, which is also supported by contributions from the city of Des Moines and local businesses. So, we're trying to encourage people to use the bus system, to ride their bike to the bus, and then from whatever their bus stop is in downtown, ride your bike on to work. And so we're trying to encourage all kinds of those kinds of activities.
Okay, let me quote something from our About Des Moines summary we have online. Wintertime low temperatures can plunge below zero for days on end, and 15 to 25 inches of snow in a month's time is not uncommon.
Right.
is that why you have the world's second longest what do they call that? The covered walkway?
Skywalk.
The skywalk system?
The skywalk,
probably,
yes.
Probably. That's exactly why it's there. While, you know, that has been subject of discussion for many, many years. You know, how does it affect retail? Quite frankly, now we're seeing that it is part of a, well, there were certain retailers, and I got to tell you, we were one of those, that was concerned about the effect of skywalks on street-level retail. At the end of the day, it appears as though it is very helpful to downtown housing to be in close proximity to or have direct access to the skywalk system so people can live and walk to work 12 months a year in sort of a climate-controlled, out-of-the-elements environment.
Okay.
So it has been very interesting. But you're right. Our temperatures will be below zero, and they can go above 100. And so we get a huge fluctuation in temperature here. And that is just one of the things we live with in the state of Iowa. Luckily, the real low and the real high temperatures don't last as long. But quite frankly, we're seeing a little less of the intensity of the low and a little more of the high. Unfortunately, it probably is a result of global warming. And that's another reason why I support riding bikes. We've got to contribute to the health of our economy, and part of that is to cut back on the use of automobiles and cars and fossil fuel-powered, non-renewable resource-powered energy.
Okay, Frank, well, tell me something. For our listeners out there, your skywalk is how long? A mile and a half? Is that what I understand to be true?
No, I believe now there's over 3 miles of skywalks in downtown.
There's more than one?
Well, they run all over the place. They run all the way from the Iowa Events Center. They run south to Court Avenue. They run, I would say, from about 2nd Street west to 10th.
10th Street.
And a little bit west of that, almost 11th, actually, through the connection with the garage across the street from the new Allied building. And it runs north and connects to a number of I actually think that you can get to the principal's buildings, and it runs all over the place.
Are bikes allowed on them?
No.
Okay. So they're strictly walking then?
They're strictly walking.
What a bummer. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
When you come up, you'll have to see it. I mean, you know, it's possible that we've had a couple of movies filmed where there was some motorized vehicles on the skywalk, but I think that was for show.
Okay. Is there an advisory board that for bicyclists that you and your city council consult?
Well, there's a Citizen Bicycle and Trails Advisory Committee, and so the city maintains that committee, and they advise the city council and the park board on ways to improve bicycling and trails in and around Des Moines. And recently, in addition to that, you know, this committee merged with Polk County Conservation Board to help advise on bicycle trails and greenway issues all over the county. So we're trying to get everybody involved and excited about it in our whole metropolitan area. And
wow.
So we're trying to make the partnerships to make that happen.
Okay, now you're famous. We're wrapping up here, Frank. I know that you've got to get back to your city, man, running your city there. But RAGBRAI, the Register's annual Great Bike Ride Across Iowa, the famous Iowa bike ride.
It's a great event. It happens every single year, and I must be honest with you, I think I've only ridden part of one day in all these years.
What part does Des Moines play in that?
They vary the routes every year.
Mm-hmm.
We have not had this. I don't think RAGBRAI's been through Des Moines in a number of years. They generally, 11 years ago was the last time they came through Des Moines. Cities now bid for the opportunity to have this event go through their towns, and it's a large contingent. There's there's 10 to 15,000 people riding every single day, and that kind of can go up and down depending on what cities are going through, because not everybody rides it all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a huge mass of people moving across the state of Iowa. And I think they have found it best to mostly go through the smaller communities. It does start and stop often in Davenport or Clinton or Dubuque or whatever, because those are river towns, and sometimes starts in a number of places, Sioux City or Council Bluffs or places like that on the west. So it going through the city of Des Moines may be a little harder for them to plan around, because we've got to almost shut down streets, which are. Would be a little problematic to that 15-20 minute commute.
Great. Okay, well, finally, wrapping up, I'm going to ask this last question. What do you think about the National Bicycle Greenway, a coast-to-coast interconnected network of roads and paths that would obviously include your city?
I think it's, a fabulous initiative. And I think that Des Moines, there's a way to for Des Moines to participate in that link and that national bicycle event, and we'd love to be part of it and look forward to our participation.
Great, Frank. And as a parting shot, then, is there anything you'd like to add about Des Moines that we didn't cover?
It's an opportunity that everybody across the United States ought to take a look at. We're one of the best-kept secrets in this country.
Well, it sounds like it. You're definitely one of the best salespersons for that best-kept secret. Thanks, Frank.
Well, you bet. Martin, good to talk to you.
I thank you for your time, Guy. This has been most revelatory. And you too, Lorna. Thanks for being such a big supporter of our Greenway. I'm excited that you're there too.
I know. Well, we'll talk to you soon. We're looking forward to seeing you in June.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye, Jim Martin.
That wraps up another edition of the National Bicycle Greenway's Mountain Movers podcast series. We hope you enjoyed it. This has been NBG director and Awake Again author Martin Krieg. For more info about the NBG, go to nationalbicyclegreenway.com. To access this podcast in the future and to hear other shakers and movers that we've interviewed, go to bikeroute.com.